Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Ron and Don program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. I'm host Ron Edwards. Don Allen will not be with us. In fact, Ms. Allen is probably on a summer academic hiatus, if you will. We expect him to return probably sometime in mid-June, if you will. We have a lot for you tonight. This is a sad occasion, a sad time once again in our city as it pertains to the violence and the cover-ups that are going on. Most of tonight's program will be spent on a situation in which there are serious questions that are going to be posed to the Minneapolis Board of Education, particularly the Minneapolis Board of Education, the police department, and others, if you will. This week started out on a very somber note, if you will. A 12-year-old African-American youngster who had just relocated with his family to Minneapolis from Rochester, Minnesota, the home of the Mayo Clinic, was shot by unknown gunmen in what appeared to be an attack on a house in the immediate vicinity, not the home that he was living in, so we were clear on that, the young Mr. Williams. But not to be confused with the ongoing investigation of another Williams, if you will, Tyrone Williams, shot and killed a month ago, a little over a month ago, in front of his home on the 800 block in Ellworth in North Minneapolis. The 12-year-old, young Mr. Williams, is recovering. He's had at least a couple of surgeries. He was very lucky that he did not lose his leg. The shot hit him in the area of his kneecap, and et cetera. Doctors, surgeons at North Memorial Hospital here in the suburb of Robbinsdale, which is right adjacent to North Minneapolis, if you will, have done a pretty good job. His family, his four siblings, his mother, other relatives have been with him. We visited him on Saturday, probably about 14 hours after he had been shot and wounded and driven to the hospital by his mother, who did not want to wait, and rightly so, given his injuries, on the emergency responders, police, and others, and drove him to the hospital, where luckily they were able to go into surgery immediately, and except for this happened Friday night around 10:30, 10:40 on Friday, last, if you will. As I said, I was joined at the hospital by K.G. Wilson, a longtime activist, if you will, minister, by V.J. Smith, who is also a minister and the head of Mad Dads, both locally and nationally, if you will. We all came together at the hospital to give comfort and our prayers to the family, if you will. This is a very trying time for the family of young Mr. Williams. As we said before, he's 12 years old. We really don't think that it's appropriate to go into family and et cetera, though one of the television stations did do a brief piece, but not much from the Star Tribune and other white stations here in the Twin Cities. When by Sunday, community became very much aware that a 12-year-old African-American child had been shot and wounded by unknown gunmen who have not been apprehended, that the battle, the carnage, the violence, the injuries and the deaths continues, if you will. 2 days ago, young African-American shot and killed in the 3400 block of Newton Avenue North, which actually was about a block away from where the young Williams child was shot and wounded, if you will. Gunshots rang out, police ultimately arrived. Spot shotters had had recorded the gunfire and et cetera. Police arrived and again found a African-American male laying in the alley dead, if you will. Not a lot of information coming forward at this particular point, but we have grown used to that in the African-American communities, that there are just a lot of deaths going on and a lot of cold cases. A lot of cold cases, if you will. And so the carnage, as we said, still goes on. We have attempted to reach out to the mayor of our city. The group of five, which is comprised of those that were at North High School last Friday, to head off, and it was very timely. We were asked by law enforcement to join with them, headed off what has been a two-week activity, fighting, and et cetera, but they're primarily at Henry, North, and Roosevelt High Schools here in our city of Minneapolis, if you will. So the school district has certainly been in the middle of levels of violence and et cetera. The Reverend D.J. Smith, Reverend K.G. Wilson, longtime activist, if you will, Sharif Willis, and longtime activist, Jerome Copeland. And I was with them, the group of five, as we are identified. As I said just minutes ago, we have attempted to ask the mayor if there can be a summit, a meeting with him and his police department and advisors and et cetera to determine how we're going to handle this increase once again in violence, if you will, shootings, deaths, and et cetera. And so lo and behold, we were just absolutely stunned when yesterday, late in the day, word was received in our African-American community that a educator, a quote-unquote instructor at one of our disciplinary schools, Harrison, which is adjacent to Great Bend, which is another school of disciplinary actions dealing with middle graders and et cetera. Harrison has the title of Harrison Alternative, if you will, but everyone knows that it is a disciplinary facility with some of the most demanding human beings as it pertains to being worked with regards to their mental conditions and et cetera. Word went out that at about 10:45 yesterday morning, again, of course, we are broadcasting on a Tuesday at 10:45 a.m., that a young 18-year-old Caucasian, who there will have to be some question of what that 18-year-old was still doing in that facility and allegedly enrolled in school, if you will. Well-trained young Caucasian, if you will, rumored to be a member of the neo-Nazi commandos, a group that is, quote-unquote, being trained in northern Minnesota. There has been suspicions with regards to some of their activities. A couple of things are extremely peculiar as it pertains to this young man. Number one, he does not live in Minneapolis. He does not live in the Minneapolis school district. He was, quote-unquote, shuffled over to Minneapolis. He is a level five, an extremely dangerous individual, and you will get even a clearer understanding as we walk you through some of the terror that he has been involved in just the last 2.5 weeks at that facility, Harrison Alternative School in North Minneapolis on Glenwood. We were shocked when we heard that a 49-year-old African-American educator had been savagely and brutally beaten, if you will. We later learned that this 49-year-old person of color is a Liberian, from Liberia, if you will, who had been at the Harrison School for 15 years. 15 years. He has been employed there, been due diligent, well-respected. Everyone we talked to, certainly today and late last night through many different sources, speak highly. And I want to make sure I get the last name correct. Mohammed, as I said, he is from Liberia. His family were present. They were both at the front of the school and, more importantly, were at the government center as the young Caucasian extremist was arraigned. Bail was set at $150,000, if you will. And the county attorney will have to make a decision, and we want to spend a tad of time on this based on the information that has been already forthcoming during the course of the investigations, as well as information from others who we now, to our shock and dismay, were victims of this well-trained young man, if you will, proficient in the martial arts and et cetera. We were shocked. We were shocked to find out that just in the last 2.5 weeks that this young man had assaulted and beaten, injured 3 educators, one a white woman, a white female, whose nose and small face bones were broken in her face as she was punched by this well-trained, quote-unquote, terrorist, if you will. She was bleeding profusely and et cetera, yet the principal at this school, Harrison, it needs to be told to the community, pressured her. Yes, he did. And for all you folks on the school board that talk in terms of transparency and et cetera, something you better think about, that this principal at Harrison pressured this Caucasian woman who had been attacked, and I mean attacked. I mean, he smashed her face in. She was bloody and et cetera. The principal pressured her not to file charges, not to make anything known. The district became aware, of course, and concurred with the fact that information and secrecy be maintained, which raises serious questions about those ranging from, you know, the principal, quote-unquote, to area superintendents to the superintendent's office. I'm quite sure that there's no documentation because, according to police investigators, as of this hour, have not been able to find any incident report of the attack on this woman, though she was later hospitalized, if you will. Now, this was just in the last 2.5 weeks or thereabouts. An additional bombshell happened a week ago today, on Tuesday, when this same young man, his name is Corey Barfield, if you will, a resident of St. Paul, if you will, and an extreme sympathizer of the ultra-right. Lo and behold, a week ago this past Tuesday, this individual who has been legendary since he has been at this school, a school which is supposed to be a lockdown facility, you're not able to move around unless the doors are unlocked and things like that, if you will, that this individual ambushed an African-American educator, and I mean ambushed, because this man is a fairly good size, if you will, and ambushed him, hit him with a number of blows, causing this individual to have suffer a serious concussion, in which he is still at home in bed rest, if you will. Now, this became even more sensitive only in the context of who this individual was beside being an employee, and I think it's important that our listening audience understand how we are, quote-unquote, involved in cover-up in this town and how the African-American community cannot really expect a lot, if you will, even from the people that they, quote unquote, work for. As we said before, this individual is a 17-year veteran, if you will, of the school system. He has worked at the facility and in the school facility for 17 years. He was attacked. He suffered concussions and other injuries and et cetera. Assistance had to be called. SRO officer, security officer was there, apparently, according to audio that is now being analyzed, and according to our sources and the white media, you know, who had the story, wrote about a 50-word morning's edition of the Minneapolis paper as it pertained to Mr. Dukla. Condition and injuries of he. And so after the situation took place, the beating took place of this African-American, if you will, both educator, and now we really got to show you how they operate in this town. This individual is an elected public official of the park board of this city. By the way, a park board that was just praised and gloried over by the mayor of this city at Martin Luther King Jr. Park this afternoon as we speak. How ironic, if you will. Praising the park board, praising the kind of job that the park commissioners have done. Again, the park commissioners are all elected public officials, if you will. Gentleman that was beaten, suffering concussions and et cetera, is an elected official of the park board. He is an elected public official. The school district took the position, and he has some friends. He has some of y'all out there who are on the board. You're his friends, if you will. The administration, we don't know how far it goes, if you will, but the administration took the position that the matter needed to be kept quiet. There needed to be no publicity on it. It would be handled internally. I want you to remember this particular phrase by me as it pertains to this program, that the victim, the second victim, if you will, and at that time less than a week, that person should maintain silence. And some say that the white principal Ed Harrison indicated, good American, Mr. French is his name, for those of you that are saying, well, why don't you say who it was, who it is? Yes, we're telling you, Rondell French, a very respected African American educator, elected political official, and et cetera. The white principal said that after the attack a week ago this past Tuesday, that it would be wise for Mr. French to maintain silence. Outrageous, absolutely outrageous. It was already known that this young Caucasian, Mr. Burfeld, had a dangerous, quote-unquote, classification, had no business, based on how things work in the system, if you will. These are two separate school districts, Minneapolis and St. Paul. The question now being posed is, what was he doing in a Minneapolis public school facility? The public schools refused to answer that question to the white media over the last 10 hours here in our beloved city, if you will. They refused. Board of Education, for those of you that are listening to this program, turn on, check your news at 9 and 10 tonight and see how the white anchors were required to report the fact that the school district indicated that they would not release any information. They already knew on the occasion of the inquiry with respect to the vicious attack upon Rondell French that this young man was out of control. He should have been arrested. He should have been placed in jail, if you will. The school district hid the offense, hid the terrorist act, and had the audacity to feel comfortable enough politically that they could take an elected, another elected official who was also employed by them and threaten him with possible termination if he were to take an action. Now, it became known that Mr. French placed in play a formal complaint and incident report and etc. Earlier today, reliable sources, if you will, inside of City Hall, with the police department under pressure, with an African-American public elected official being attacked by a neo-Nazi inside of the Minneapolis public schools, that there needed to be an explanation on why this individual was not at least booked, jailed, bail set, and et cetera. The school district indicated that they could not discuss the matter. Now, you have to understand, this young man is 18 years old, so he is not quote confidentiality provisions or statutes or et cetera. Mr. French finds himself under some pressure, if you will, to maintain silence. That was before 10:45 a.m. yesterday morning in a hallway at Harrison Disciplinary School, where a well-trained and terroristic young white man beat into unconsciousness. And we want you to listen to this, because the white media, Star Tribune, all the white stations here, this is the first time that it will be heard in this city, and it's a black commentator making it. Not only was Mr. Duclay beaten savagely, if you will, but during the course of the attempt to revive him and et cetera, he suffered a heart attack. For all you black folks out there, white folks and everybody else that are like, what the hell is going on in a place like Minneapolis? He suffered a heart attack. That is the reason that he is now on life support. And only through the prayers, quote unquote, of Almighty God is it hope that he will be able to survive. Many in the Liberian community are enraged. They will be even more enraged because I was asked by representatives of that community if I intended to lay all of this out. I said I most certainly would, particularly given the vicious beating that was placed upon Mr. Duclay. But let me tell you just how calculating this young, well-trained white terrorist is. Is known as a beautiful person, well-respected, 15 years in the Minneapolis public schools, has been working with these problem youngsters and et cetera. And people knew that he had a disability. And I know to some of you who are involved and know and understand hand-to-hand combat and et cetera, what we are getting ready to say to you tonight from Minneapolis, Minnesota, is just how vicious things are here. The disability that Mr. Duclay has is that he only has one hand. He lost his other hand in a circumstance and situation many years ago. Yes, he only has one hand. Sources tell us that when you look at the video, oh, yes, you have to remember they are in a secure facility and et cetera, allegedly, as the terrorist attempted to take his keys and his radio, as he attempted to fight back, if you will. You have to understand, he's 49 years of old. He's of age. He's a small, structured man in that context, if you will. But he's got the heart of a lion. But he's in against a well-seasoned, if you will, and well-trained martial art fighter, if you will. Oh, the white media in this town is going to try to do everything they can to make it appear that he's just a little innocent white kid. In fact, as I looked at him and I said to associates earlier today here in Minneapolis, that he reminded me of the white terrorists in Charleston, South Carolina. He really reminds me they could be twins, if you would. But the video, my friends, tonight in this city, that, of course, pressure is being applied, but the police department not make it available, though they will have to make it available at some point. If this young man, he has been charged, though, yes, he's been charged first degree assault, if you will, and we all await and maintain a vigil to if Mr. Duple will survive. 49 years old, 15 years as an employee of the Minneapolis Public Schools, attacked by this, and we keep saying it. We say it for purpose tonight. This is a well-trained young man. In fact, St. Paul got rid of him because of the danger that he represented with regards to his contact. The fact of the matter is that even at age 17, he could have been adjudicated as an adult and sent to the St. Cloud Reformatory for quote-unquote young men, if you will. But he has shepherds. That's the code word for my friends and buddies in the quote-unquote neo-Nazi world, if you will. He had shepherds that were watching after him, and one of them was the principal at the high school, if you will, the so-called high school, the alternative disciplinary facility. The same man that told the white teacher, who was called, quote-unquote, and I hate to use the term, but we must use it for effect tonight on this program across the world, as this young man smashed her in the face, causing her to bleed profusely in a scepter. He called her a nigger-loving white bitch. Yes, that's what he did. He called her a nigger-loving white bitch. In fact, already police are questioning the district about certain records that have disappeared since the beating of Mr. Duple at 10:45 a.m. yesterday in the city of Minneapolis. Yes, yes. Records have already began to disappear. As he was beating a black elected official and a 17-year employee of the Minneapolis Public School, he used and screamed out the phrases, nigger, you should die, and etc. And then, as he possibly beat to death Mr. Duple, 15-year employee, a man with a disability, having only one hand to fight back and to protect himself, as this well-trained, well-conditioned, let's make sure that you understand this tonight, my friend. Talking about some little pipsqueak, if you will, some little guy that didn't know what was going on. They put that best picture they could on the news today. KSTP, Channel 5, actually initially on their broadcast at 11 o'clock this afternoon, declined to identify both race and name. WCCO, which is a CBS affiliate, and so they have a different protocol which they must operate under, on their news at noon, and then again at 6 o'clock this evening here in our beloved Shangri-La, the city of Minneapolis, identified and showed his picture once again and gave his name, and then finally got around to saying that there had been another assault at the school, quote-unquote, a month ago. That was the one of a Caucasian woman at the end of this past month whose face was crushed, and etc. But they pretended that they did not know, and that's what the white media in this city did, my friends. They pretended that they did not know that the second victim that was assaulted by this well-trained, well-conditioned, quote-unquote, neo-Nazi was a black elected official. Can you believe, my friends, what it would have been like here if a young black male had attacked a white political leader? Do you know the consequences that person individually and his family would have gone through? And do you know the kinds of statements that would have been made about the African-American community? Think about it, for those of you that are honest and upfront and think with a degree of logic. Do you understand what would have happened in this city if a young Negro, quote-unquote, would have attacked a white elected public official as Mr. French was attacked a week ago yesterday? Why, my God, black folks wouldn't be able to be on the streets of our city. And if the principal, we're not going to let him get away tonight. It is clear that this principal is a strong neo-Nazi sympathizer. When documents were asked for this afternoon, according to many reliable law enforcement sources, the district fainted, you know, played like they didn't know what folks was talking about. What incident? What are you talking about? And et cetera. In fact, white news reporters here now admit that in interviewing them yesterday, preparing for their bylines and stories last night, and newspaper accounts this morning, that they were never told that this was the third assault, vicious, effective assault, by this young, well-trained neo-Nazi sympathizer in about 2.5 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, if you will. In fact, he was considered to be so dangerous at the time that he was brought in, they did something that normally they don't do with white prisoners in this town, and particularly when they are downtown before taking them across the street to the jail. They actually had Corey in handcuffs because he is just that dangerous, if you will. Of his friends and loved ones and peers, the Liberian community, wait and pray that their brother, their friend, their loved one will get through the situation that he's in. I hope for the best, but when you suffer the injuries that he suffered, if you will, the concussions, the brain swelling, taking the top part of his skull out so that they could reduce the swelling, and et cetera, if you will. But you see, it was interesting that they withheld from you the information. This 49-year-old black man had suffered a heart attack within the short period of time of the assault on him and rushing him to the hospital, HCMC, if you will. So tonight, questions are starting to be asked, but not a lot, if you will. We don't have that kind of clout, that kind of power. We don't have that kind of respect in this town as black people, contrary to the BS that we try to feed the outside world. We're still trying to play off of the Super Bowl and how good the white folks were to us. The white folks didn't provide the black community with nothing coming out of the Super Bowl. Didn't make anywhere near the kind of money that leadership pies about, and et cetera, in our city. But tonight we have a crisis of confidence, truth, integrity. We have three individuals, educators, if you will, who were all attacked by this young man, by this, and we say it again for the 15th time, and we'll say it for 50 times if we choose to. This well-trained neo-Nazi commando. Young man who knew no expressions as he beat, and in one case may very well have killed, and that is the use of the so-called N-word, if you will, screaming, if you will, making statements, and et cetera. Now, let me give you a prediction, and also let me give those of you of the Minneapolis Board of Education a recommendation. First of all, the county attorney already has let it be known that he is not in favor of declaring this a hate crime. Now, look here, my friends, wherever you are and can hear this broadcast, when one person is beating to death another person and assaulting another person and breaking their nose and giving them concussions and bringing them to the edge of death, and he is referring to his venom, to his hostility, if you will, to his anger, to his hatred of you, by your race or the fact that you are seen as being, quote-unquote, a sympathizer of the niggers whose face was crushed in by this well-trained, well-conditioned neo-Nazi commando, if you will. When you see that happen, even a person with the lesser degrees, if you will, of knowledge and understanding of law, if you will, maybe such as our county attorney, but this is a county attorney who just a year ago indicated he was going to take the maximum action and a couple of months ago charged a black police officer in the Minneapolis Police Department with murder in the third degree. He had no hesitation, no problem. You know, he talked in terms of how he had researched it, et cetera. Said he took it to a grand jury. he had taken to the grand jury. Anybody that knows their law knows that the grand jury did not charge Officer Muhammad Nord. And so folks don't get confused. It's not to be a man who lies as we speak on the doorstep of death. Muhammad Dukla. Think about that, my friends. So we have a recommendation tonight as we move into the last 25 minutes of this ongoing investigation here. Because if we had chose not to bring this forward tonight, you wouldn't have known anything about it. Though his family and other members of the Liberian community are putting pressure, but it's a question that they weren't quite sure, and particularly in light of the fact that the public schools suppressed evidence and information. Police are now asking for the incident reports and et cetera. White and black folk in the Minneapolis public school districts that say they can't find the documents. Can you believe that? I mean, here's a young man that within 2.5-3 weeks' time beat almost to death three individuals with his own hands, well-trained and et cetera. In the case of Mr. French, for those that know, Mr. French is a large man. He's not small stature, as tragically Mr. Duclos is. In terms of this individual's ability to be protected, for those of you on the Minneapolis Board of Education, for those in the superintendent's office, for all the rest of you, if you will, that quote-unquote marched behind the man, y'all know it was a cover-up going on. You knew that this young white terrorist was out of control. And we repeat again, as we said early on in this program, how did he get into the Minneapolis public school system in a level 4 facility? This is a level 4 facility. It is quite clear that in order to have been adjudicated, to be assigned and brought over from St. Paul, that this boy was more than they could handle in St. Paul, and so they brought him over here. And they put him in the school. No sooner than he walked in the door, according to the sources, he was talking about niggers, talking about how he hated them, and et cetera. This young man should not have been in that facility. He should have been sent somewhere where he was placed in, quote-unquote, segregation, recreational, quote-unquote, control. But he had a shepherd, my friend. He had a shepherd. He had someone, white, who was the principal of the school, who liked his style. In fact, it appears that he may have been one of maybe only two, if that, because there are only 32 students in the facility, who was white. What made Minneapolis accept, and why did St. Paul send this, quote-unquote, young terrorist to be bivouacked in this facility in North Minneapolis, where he took extreme advantage of his training, his combat capabilities, and et cetera, as a karate expert, and said, oh, this young man has been well trained up there in northern Minnesota, where neo-Nazis in this state come together. You know, they carry out military training exercises and et cetera. And periodically here in our state, you know, we'll kill a person of color, African-American, et cetera. We brought this to you when we talked in terms of George Edward Washington, absolutely murdered in the Kandy, Ohio jail in Wilmer, Minnesota. But hey, folks, including the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, said, you know, that's not our concern. We don't see any proof. We've got members of his family who are saying that he was a bad person. But they're not interested in the concern. Yes, for those that ask the question, what happened to Joseph Washington, if you will? Well, this is a funny world that we live in, and sometimes people listen a little bit too much to their attorneys to try to convince them that there's a lot of money to be made. But tonight we are looking had a son, a patriot of Liberia, a man with one hand, but a man who everyone that I've talked to last night and today speak highly of him. of him with great respect. Speak of him as a man who was concerned, a man who was committed to treating his fellow man and fellow woman with dignity and respect. He didn't get that at 10:45 a.m. yesterday morning in a hallway at a so-called secure Minneapolis public school facility, a place of lockdown and et cetera. He didn't receive that kind of respect as this white terrorist beat him almost to death. And as we said, tonight he lays at death's doorway. Again, to whatever God that you may speak to and ask that your prayers be answered, give a prayer tonight. In the case of the black elected official, Brother French, he was lucky to the extent of his size and being able to at least fight the individual off, but he suffered injuries also. And I go back for those of you that will try to have amnesia by tomorrow morning, that the white principal, the shepherd, the sympathizer to the neo-Nazi cause, told his staff, if this will not be talked about, there will be no reports filed. I will handle the report. He will handle the reports with regards to these incidents, if you will. It's the reason that both in this morning's edition of the Stumble Bumble Minneapolis Star Tribune and to a lesser degree channels 4, 5, and 9, that there was this kind of caution. But you see, by 5 o'clock this afternoon, Central Standard Time here in our beloved Shangri-La, the white media, the white Fourth Estate began to say, oh, my God, there's something wrong here. Particularly when an aggressive Liberian community stepped forward and talked about they wanted some answers about what happened to their loved one. We knew tonight coming onto the air that if we did not indicate it over the airwaves, across the world, across the nation, and domestically, that they would be lied to. We repeat again, as we move into the last 14 minutes of this program, inquiry has been made, Superintendent Graff, of your institution, the Minneapolis Board of Education and the Minneapolis School System. Where are the incident reports? How many other people did this young, well-trained terrorist attack while at that school? What was the prior information that you were provided when you accepted him from the St. Paul public school system? St. Paul needs to be sued also, if you will. Now, that brings us to, you know, we just don't need you colors to be talking about the problem. You know, what solutions do you have? Well, we got one for you tonight on this program and the vast audience that we have. The suggestion is that a special outside counsel needs to be selected and appointed a special counsel to conduct an unrestricted and obstructed investigation. See, three assaults, too many. I mean, we're just not talking about somebody pushing somebody. We're talking about a young man who had the significant skills to provide entry. As we said earlier, when you look at black elected official, oh, we're going to keep saying that because every one of these white folks that knew about the attack on park board member French and school board employee French knew that he had been attacked by a neo-Nazi. They knew that he had been set upon. He had been ambushed in the hallways. And I got to tell you, my friend, the video of the beating, the brutal, savage beating that this young neo-Nazi put on, quote-unquote, the Liberian brother, Mr. Duclay, it would bring tears to your eyes. But when you have people that see us as nothing more than property, as something that have no rights, that like we don't breathe, we don't bleed, and we don't cry, and you can understand how this white principal at Harrison told his staff, oh, it's probably going to come out. And so a special counsel, and we've got a name for you so that, you know, folks don't have to stumble around on the school board. We would suggest the immediate contact with and offer and ask former assistant U.S. attorney for the Federal District of Minnesota and professor at Hamline University, Don Lewis, to immediately be appointed to take over the investigation. The children, the citizens, the loved ones deserve and must be accorded that respect, that there be an investigation, not that of the nature of what's being suggested by some conservatives in the center of the Donald Trump fiasco. No, we're talking about an investigation in which there is a full report within a specific period of time to the board of the Minneapolis School District with recommendations for actions. I hope that folks show as much passion. Let me say it to you like this. Some of you may not like it. I don't give a damn. Show the same passion in defense of these three educators, one white, one near death. Show the same passion for their rights and their survival as you did talking about changing the name of Patrick Henry High School. Show the same passion. We're not taking a position or opinion on that issue. We're just saying show the same passion. You came, you marched in to the school board meetings and et cetera over the last couple of months. You know, it's been tense, if you will. It's been back and forth. So-called activists and others have talked about what they expect, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, I can well remember Brother French before his election to the Minneapolis Park Board. Yes, again, I repeat for the ninth time, he is an elected public official. And the Minneapolis Public Schools Administration, and I hope, my God, that none of you on the board get caught, turned their backs on the assault that was perpetrated against him. If an action had been taken against Corey Burfield when the first punch was thrown and a white woman was brutally assaulted and et cetera, we wouldn't be looking tonight at a tragedy where an African American, the son of Africa, Liberia, finds himself on death's doorway, and his family and loved ones and his community, by Liberian community. See, the Liberian community should march on the Minneapolis Public School Administration building and demand a formal action. That's the reason we're throwing it out there, so that folks don't have to run around playing the game, talking about, well, what's your recommendations? Oh, you know, come on. Y'all know in a situation like this where there's already been early indications, I repeat again, early indications of a cover-up to protect the extreme right wing, that you need to have special counsel. You need to have a man like Don Lewis brought in, given all the necessary powers, Superintendent Graff, all the necessary powers, members of the school board of the Minneapolis Public School System, all of the powers to conduct a full-scale investigation, unimpeded, if you will. In the meanwhile, with a $150,000 bail facing him, if you will, and the decision that the county attorney will have to make, if the brother of Liberia dies, the plug is pulled, he's on life support. He said that before. That a action will be taken which is commensurate with the same kind of actions that you took against Officer Muhammad Nord. We want to be fair. We want to be balanced in our beloved Shangri-La and our beloved Minneapolis, if you will. We want to be balanced. If the brother of Liberia should pass from this life, this young neo-Nazi must be charged with murder in the second degree and taken to a grand jury to ask for murder in the first degree, because when you talk about his actions, his conduct, and if quote unquote, the brother of Liberia dies, the Dupuy dies, if you will, then it was clear as he screamed out, as he beat this 49-year-old man of color, as he screamed out racial epithets and et cetera, that he did it with malice and forethought. I know that Mr. Freeman knows how to read the law. Malice and forethought, my friends, tonight from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, that this county attorney is up for re-election, if you will, did not receive the endorsement at the so-called Democratic Convention, which made him very unhappy, that he will not charge this young neo-Nazi commando with a hate crime, as well as whatever the offenses will be based on the condition of the person that was assaulted. And we hope that Superintendent Grass will have the courage, along with the board, to demand that the principal of this school, Harrison, gave his full support for Brother French to be able to move ahead with charges, as well as the white teacher whose face was crushed in by powerful blows from this well-trained, well-conditioned neo-Nazi commando. These are the things that a community has a right to expect, my friends. We don't need to hear all of the conjecture and et cetera about, well, do we have all the facts, if you will. I tell you what, if one of these white TV stations decides to get their hands, really make the try to get their hands on the video of that, in mind what we've said to you at least 15 times tonight. Mr. Dupuy, man with only one hand, and yet he fought for his life. He fought for his life as his head was banged into. See, this young man is well-trained, well-conditioned. He knows how to fight. He knows leverage. He knows the importance of leverage. I know there are those of you out there who are involved in kung fu and jiu-jitsu and all those kinds of things. We all know leverage and et cetera is important. And as he slung this black man with disability into the wall and bashed his head and screamed and hollered, quote unquote, that he was going to kill him, and using all of the profanity and et cetera, the code words, if you will. And then it turns out that if it had not been made known on this program tonight, coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, from God's place, if you will, if it had not been made known, the shepherd, if you will, would have made sure that no reports would have been made, and they would have found a way, though they, I don't think, anticipated the tenaciousness of this brother's community and of his relatives. And God bless them tonight. God bless them that they came forward quickly, within 24 hours, if you will, asked for explanations and et cetera. And yet, as they were asking for that, the Minneapolis Public School District, as we move towards closure on tonight's program, were already involved, deeply involved, embedded in cover-up. Think about that. See, that goes to the narrative, to the concept, to whatever you want to call it, that we as the sons and daughters of the African are seen as nothing more and pieces of property to be walked on, stomped on, murdered, beaten senseless, and et cetera. It cannot be allowed to happen in this city. There has been too much pain in this city. Cord to the African American and other communities. We speak with our red brothers all the time, and we all say it at the same time. When will we have a place at the table of justice? When will we have the opportunity to have an appreciation and a respect of the white man's law, of everything from his Bill of Rights to his Constitution and et cetera? That has not happened as we speak on this program tonight and as we begin to move towards wrapping. We have not seen that tonight, my friends. We have not seen any offering to the Liberian community and to the friends and loved ones We have seen nothing to, quote unquote, the elected black public official nor the white female educator from those within their base, if you will. Though I am now surprised in the last 5 to 6 hours of how many of you folks on the both the school board and the park board that knew that Brother French had been set upon and severely attacked and beaten and et cetera. And yet in a city where folks love to gossip, I mean, they can gossip about a lot of things, man. Now, you know, folks can really gossip in these cities, but they never gossip about anything in which it has been determined that the white system has denied them and us equal opportunity and et cetera. It reminds me of the deal that they've got going with the Minneapolis Police Department as we speak, where they have created secretly a double promotion and employment list, separate and unequal, if you will, my friend. Yes, it is. But tonight we are talking in terms of a human being, a man, a beautiful person, a person who I've heard many today speak of him in respectful and glowing terms, who tonight lies in a hospital bed fighting for his very existence, the existence of life. And yet, the cover-up had already begun. As we said, documents have already disappeared. Documents have not been shown and have not been found. I asked the Board of Education and Superintendent Graff, you know, who came to us from Alaska, quote-unquote, as the great white hope. Well, give us some hope, boss. Give us some hope. Make the shepherd, the sympathizers of the neo-Nazis, step up to the plate and talk in terms of how this situation or these situations, these assaults, these beatings, and God help us that we talk in terms of this murder of a 49-year-old man of color. Let this be explained, man. Let them talk about it. We're into the last 85 seconds of tonight's program. We say once again, we offer our prayers to a fallen warrior, if you will, and to the Liberian community. And we offer our support and prayers to Brother French and to a white female teacher who was brutally assaulted and beaten by this white extremist, whose friends are already texting, indicating that this will be the way it is. Negro, they use the other word. Again, God bless you, communities of Minneapolis. We wish you the best, and we wish and hope that in the final analysis, stand up for justice. God help us if we don't. I'm Ron Edwards. This is the Don and Ron program, the Ron and Don program, coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul.